What's going down, podcast listener? Welcome back to the Symbiosis Now podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of the show. And on this show, we like to have a good conversation every episode, guaranteed. Point of this podcast, folks, is to stimulate connectivity in a time where we are incredibly disconnected. We may be able to message each other immediately. We may be able to send signals, FaceTime, in real time. But we're missing a lot because we're not physically in each other's presence often. And ever since my wife and I had our child, we haven't had people coming over to the house, to my studio anymore. For the podcast, I've been making phone calls. And it's been a blast. It's been fucking awesome. But for this episode, we have a very special Christmas surprise. And that is Allison Colombaro, physically here in person with Asher Colombaro, our baby boy, also here with us. And we're here to wrap up unfinished business. Last time that Allison was on here with Asher, we were discussing labor and how that went as parents. And now we're going to talk about postpartum, what happens after that, how it goes from there. I'm sure we'll talk about some other things. We'll probably end on some Christmassy cheer type notes because this episode's coming out 2 days before the old grand corporate holiday we call Christmas. So Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, and all that jazz, blah, blah, blah. Listener, be sure to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends about the podcast. And without further ado, let us voyage into the yonder of conversation with Allison Colombaro on the Symbiosis Now podcast.
You know Idaho potatoes? That's prison labor.
I was face down in the gravel, teeth biting road like asphalt. Coca-Cola still uses coca leaf in their mixture for flavor.
Because the simpler a message is, the more people can get behind it.
I can really tune in and try to stay alert on what's going on right now.
And also, I had read the fucking label wrong, so we actually took 10 times the amount we were supposed to take.
Wow.
Of each.
This is the thing, and I want this to be like a public service announcement to people.
PSA, listen, PSA. This is important.
Here we are. How many pounds later, I don't know, but quite a bit because he's getting heavier. He's getting plumper. He's growing. He's got longer hair already. He can see us. We have Asher Colombaro and his mommy, Allison Colombaro, joining us once again.
That's me. Hello. Here we are. So, yeah, he was born. I lived to tell the tale. And I remember shaking so bad from a combination of the blood loss and from the epidural and my hormones. And that was after, like I said, I had asked the doctor, like, you know, I asked Tyler, if I pass out, can you take Asher? But after that subsided, I started feeling more and more normal because once you feel that fucking weird, anything is better than that. Like, even though I was not 100% yet, I was like, man, as long as I'm not shaking uncontrollably anymore. It was like I was really cold too, but then I was also kind of sweating. Like, my mom said she thought I was having a seizure kind of because they were like worried I was about to because I was shaking so bad. But then, you know, like Tyler said, the doctors cleaned up and everything settled down, and eventually it was time to transfer us to postpartum. And that kind of sucked because I liked the room that we were in. And I'm like, man, now we have to like go, we have to leave the room that he was born in already. Like, I liked it here. I got used to it, but it is what it is, you know. And they don't let you walk. They put you in a wheelchair, and they made Tyler grab all the bags and everything. And they're like, oh, it's fine. Just pile it all onto here. And we had just got food delivered to the room, too, because when you're in the hospital, they give you, like, one or two free meals a day.
Yeah, but, like mid-meal, they're like, okay, you guys have to move right now. And we're like, okay, well, we're eating. They're like, yeah, but you can just take it with you. And it's like, okay.
Okay.
So we just fucking piled all this shit on a cart, and I just pushed it behind you, and your mom pushed you in the wheelchair.
No, my mom wasn't there. The nurse did. Yeah,
that's right. The nurse did.
After Ash was born, my mom left like shortly after to give us like time. Like once she knew I was okay and like, you know.
Yeah.
She went home to like shower and give us space to have our little family time.
Yeah.
So it was this random male nurse that was wheeling me. And then you're like following with the cart and like all they got stuff stacked.
It was like soup and shit in there. I'm trying to not slosh. Yeah. Soup.
Yeah, drinks.
Yeah.
The hospital food was, I would say, like a 7 out of 10. Once I could actually taste normal again, it was pretty damn good. Like, half of the reason was because I was hungry, but also, I mean, it was good. Like, I had pizza, and that was good. It was so good that I ordered it again. And then we got these roasted cauliflower, I want to say. They just kind of called it seasonal vegetables, but I guess cauliflower is what they had deemed was in season. And I kept ordering that for Thai. I tried a couple of those, and that was pretty good.
The only thing that was good in the inclusive package that we stayed for, essentially, was the cauliflower and garlic roasted. That was the bomb of shit.
Yeah.
Everything else, I could totally live without. Even the sweets, like the desserts, like the cake was like, what is this?
Yeah, and then my mom tells me, speaking of cake, oh, I heard that for new moms, they give you a piece of chocolate cake.
So I called downstairs and they're like, no, we don't do that. And I'm like, your mom set me up to sound dumb on the phone. No, she didn't. It was hella funny, though. I called downstairs all gullible. And they're like, no, we've never done that, but we can send you a piece of cake. And I was like, yeah, do that.
Yeah.
And then the only other good thing there, food-wise, was the coffee, but I had to pay for it. Not the free one. The free one was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
But they have this little commissary room that was kind of convenient that I didn't know was a thing.
I'll say this. The coffee was terrible. The caffeine in it was jacked, though, homie. It was like shitty tasting, but like it was like they added extra caffeine to this shit or something, man.
You know what was one of my favorite parts of the hospital?
What?
Was the ice.
The ice, yeah, the crushed
ice.
Oh,
I will think about that ice.
I got you cups and cups and cups of ice, you're right.
Oh, man. It's crazy because when labor started for me, my nurse was like, listen, you might think like you're not supposed to eat. I should probably tell you not to eat, but you're fine.
But
like,
fuck
you know,
that.
She was just like, you know, whatever you feel like, you know. And then it turned out I wasn't really even hungry. Like, in the morning, like, I think we mentioned it in part one probably, we got Main Street, like a local diner. We got some breakfast on the way.
Yeah.
But once we got to the hospital and I had the epidural in me and everything, like, eating was kind of off the table for me. But I was super fucking thirsty.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. And then drinking water made me kind of nauseous. So then I was just eating ice. So it's funny because that's what usually they tell you to do anyway. It's like, you can have ice chips. And people are all mad. Like, well, no, I'm going to eat a fucking sandwich because I want to. And it's like, I did not want to eat a sandwich right then. Like,
yeah,
I
needed
ice. Even all the way through me pushing, I remember being like, Mom, are you, like, somebody please just give me, like, a piece of ice in my mouth. Like, super thirsty.
Yeah.
And the water was so cold and good. Yeah. Like, oh, man. So the ice was one of my favorite parts. And then, like I was saying, they have this little commissary room, and it's very basic, but it's cool because you don't have to call a nurse and ask for water. Once you're good to get out of bed, you can just go yourself, or you can send your whoever's in there with you. Like, so you would go often for me. But, like, the night that, like, he was born at, like, 7 in the morning, they transferred us to postpartum at, like, noon or something in the middle of the day. And then by that night, I was, like, up walking around, like, still sticking towards the bed, but, like, you had fallen asleep. And I'm like, I'm going to go look and see what's in that room because I need a little something.
Yeah.
And they had chicken broth.
They did.
And that shit was fire. Yeah. And, you know, what was even cooler about it was in these little, like, tea bag things. So you like you open it was like tea but broth.
Right. Easy and to so, pour or whatever. Oh, easy to implement.
Yes. And they had the hot water dispenser, so it was just boom, you put the hot water in the cup.
Ready to eat.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. And like little crackers and like
it was pretty whack, but it was something. I was very grateful for sure.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think you ever think about it like right before we got into that room, someone else got done having labor and a similar experience to what we had.
Yeah.
And then right after we left that room, someone else went into that room to have labor and have a similar experience as we did. It's crazy. All day long, they just got
in
babies.
In fact, you're reminding me that when we...
Shooting babies out like Martha May and the Grinch with the fucking lights. babies, so you funny. Know?
Remember when, you're so funny. When we first got there, you're reminding me, when we first got there, our nurse, Ala, had said that she put us in this wing halfway because the other wing was pretty full, but also because she thought it would be better to not hear all the other women screaming and shit, like if I didn't have to. And so that was super cool of her. Like, she really took care of us from the moment that we got there.
She caught the vibe.
Yeah, she's like, these parents really, really are awesome.
Caring.
Yeah, man. So that was cool because we were kind of, like, not only did we have our own room, which, I mean, other people sometimes have to deliver with a person 12 feet away from them that's not their family or anything. Like, you get me? Like, a lot of hospitals, it can be like that. So it's crazy because we have freaking Medi-Cal, you know, and we had a room to ourselves. The best, awesomest nurses. My OB saved my life.
They brought medical marijuana to the room for me when I was stressed.
Shut the front door.
I'm just kidding. Imagine everyone's like, where was this at? No, it was a good experience overall, for sure. Shout out. Shout out Clovis community. Shout out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, shout out. And the location of the hospital was great because when Ty had to go, like, go get food that was not hospital food, it was all really close by.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, let's see. We go to postpartum. They got the commissary thing, which was lit. You know, thankfully, we still were in a room to ourselves when we went to postpartum. Some room was a little smaller. That's okay. Still, you know, you get a nice big window. I love that all the rooms have a nice big window because I think it's so important to, like,
with the pond,
see the outside world. Because and a bunch I asked, of geese. Yeah, yeah, pooping. So many geese. I asked, hey, I'm getting kind of, like, stir crazy. Can we go, like, walk around the courtyard right there? Or even just literally step outside the front door for a minute just to breathe some fresh air. Like, and they said, you can walk around the floor. You can't even leave the floor, let alone the hospital. You know? And I'm like, damn, all right. I get it. I was fully prepared to, like, even let you, or, like, my mom had come back at that point, so my mom could stay in the room with Asher, and you and I can just go take a quick little walk, you know? No, they were not going to let me out of their sight. I'm like, all right. And then they told me that I couldn't shower, so then that sucked because I was, like, kind of cold and clammy still and felt, like, really gross from labor. Like, I really wanted to shower.
All sweaty and shit, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't that sweaty, but you know what I mean. Like, just in general. I get the whole process was just a mess.
Yeah.
But it was better not to because you had, like, stitches and stuff, you know what I mean? Stuff going on.
Yeah, for sure. And then when I finally could take a shower, they were like, okay, make sure it's not too long of a shower or too hot of a shower. And I'm thinking, damn, I just want to stand in the hot-ass water and let it wash over me, dude. Yeah. I'm that type of bitch that does scalding hot showers.
And they're like, it can't be a bath, but it could be a hot tub, but only if it was in a short amount of time. You could do a sauna, but only if it's less than 30 minutes. Like, they were very specific about your care afterward.
Yeah, they did not tell me I could get in a hot tub.
No,
but they definitely. I get what you're saying. Like, they were, you're just making a joke. I get it.
They were not too hot, but not too cold of a shower.
Like, yes. And before I was approved to shower, this is something fun, a little fun idea for you out there if you're looking to give birth.
Ideas.
Hint, hint. I was like, listen, if I can't take a shower, can I soak my feet? And, like, I'm down to just soak my feet in, like, a bedpan. You know? It really doesn't need to be anything fancy. Is that an option? And the nurse that I asked was like, you know, I don't know. Let me check. Like, you know, we've never really had anybody ask that. And I'm like,
we have to run it by the boss.
I don't think it's that bougie of a request. I think it's pretty bare minimum, actually. Because I'm not asking, like, and I need, like, bath salts in it, and I need, like, a vibrating fucking foot massager.
I think it's like, because people, there's a lot of theft, probably, and shit like that. Like, so what they do, if you didn't notice, like, everything that was used by you as the patient is, like, a customer using a product, and they scan the barcode on, like, every single thing. If they take something out of a cabinet, I think often they have to, like, make a note.
Account for it.
Yeah, like literally everything.
When I confused her because she was just like, she wasn't a nurse. I called her a nurse right now, but she was just like a medical, like a person working there as like an office person.
Yeah.
And she like was only approved to, like, give baths. Nah, she wasn't an office person. I'm such an idiot. She was, like, a medical assistant. It's, like, her proper title, probably. Because she was the one who gave him his first bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had asked her, can I soak my feet? And she's like, let me ask. Like, that's a good question.
She's like, I don't know. We can't really do fucking anything around here. You can't go outside. You can't wash your feet.
Well, because you can't
drink anything but water.
It had nothing to do with my wound.
Like, no, I know, I know.
You know, so I'm sure in her mind, she's like, I want to just say yes, but I got to run it by, you know, her care team or whatever. So then before I know it, a couple minutes later, boom, in walks somebody. I forget who. They drop off a bedpan for me. And not only do they drop off a bedpan, they drop off a little thing of soap and a little thing of lotion. And, like, a little hand towel.
And a little thing of bath salt. Nah, I'm just kidding.
So I could literally, like, put soap in there and then run hot water in it and soak my feet, like.
Yeah.
And then I could put lotion on after. Like, that was so nice of them. Like, yeah. So there was moments like that where I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then before we knew it, man, it was time to leave. We only stayed one night, which is crazy because looking back, I thought for sure we stayed two nights. But it's because we were in the hospital for 2 days. Like, my labor was 2 days, but we were only in the hospital one night because October 17th, I woke up that morning at like 5 a.m. starting to feel the first onset of contractions. And then the 18th, he was born at 7 a.m. It's like 24 hours later.
But we were there. We stayed the night between while you were in labor.
Oh, so we were born there two nights.
Yeah, he was born the next morning after we'd been there for like 12 hours already, sure. Checked into the room and everything, over 12 hours. Then you went into labor. I mean, then you actually had him. We gave birth to him at 7 a.m. And then we chilled all day and had to do a bunch of stuff and basically take courses and jump through hoops and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. They just wanted to make sure that he was latching and things like that within the first 24 hours. And then they said, okay. They put their big old fuzzy boot on and said, get the fuck out. But you can't walk out. You have to go in a wheelchair. Remember?
I was so... I don't know if mad is even enough of a word to describe it because I was fucked up, first of all. Like,
yeah.
The epidural is a lot. Also, before I got the epidural, I had taken fentanyl to try to, like, stave off taking the epidural as long as possible. Well, the fentanyl ended up not really doing anything for me, so I ended up getting the epidural soon anyway. But it just, fentanyl, epidural, which has fentanyl in it too, and all this other shit. And then the next day, you know, they're giving me like Motrin for the pain, and I'm like, listen, I have a second degree tear, and I almost bled out. Like, there's pain happening in me that it's like, Advil's not gonna cut it, but I don't know what I can take while I'm breastfeeding, so like, what can I do, you know? And then they gave me Percocets, and I was like, all right, this is cool, and that made me feel loads better. But then I wanted another one, and then I wanted another one, and I was like, fuck, this is dangerous.
And then we,
like,
started putting up our ass to make sure that they kicked in quicker. No, I'm just kidding. Imagine, like, all, like, within 8 hours, just this crazy addiction to these pills. But that's how it starts, because you just basically described it felt good. You wanted more, like.
Yes, and then, so, thankfully, they didn't prescribe me any to leave, but it meant that when it finally got time for us to leave, like, they're like, okay, it's time for you to go, and I'm like, great, I'm ready, and they're like, okay, but we have to process your paperwork. And I'm like, okay. You know, so, like, why'd you tell me I was good to go then? Like, you know?
Like, we were all packed up and, like, thinking we're leaving soon. And they're like, oh, no, but we have to do stuff before we're discharged, though. And it's like, oh.
And then when we finally did get the okay to, like, okay, your husband can start taking down the bags to the car. And we're like, okay, you can bring the car up. I'm, like, ready to walk out, like Ty said. And, they wouldn't let me leave. They're like, no, we have to have somebody come and get you with a wheelchair. And I'm like, okay, well, okay. Like, when they first told me that, I was like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then nobody showed up.
Yeah, for a long time.
And then I walk out, like, 20 minutes, 30 minutes passes, 40 minutes. I'm like, dude, what? I leave my room. I go ask the receptionist lady. I'm like, is somebody come and get me with the wheelchair? Or, like, I could just leave. Like, and she's like, oh, no, you can't walk out. Like, we'll have somebody come. And then literally it took, like, another 20 minutes from that. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to leave. Let me leave. Like, I'm separated from my husband right now.
He's I'm all down waiting there in with the
car.
I already pulled around the back, opened the window, threw the bags out, and landed them on top of the car because I wanted to save time. But then I did all that rushing for no reason.
Yeah.
No, I didn't do that. But I took all the bags down and shit and had to make a couple trips in this process of waiting for this fool. And then she was like, all right, pull around the car. So I pulled around the car, old boy style. Parked right up front, dude. And then it's like, there's a security guard. And then they're like driving around. And it says like 5 minute parking or less or something.
An hour later.
There's other people coming in and picking up their mommies and babies and shit. And so I had to, like, go around the parking lot once and then come back. And then, luckily, by then, Allison was doing burnouts in the wheelchair waiting to go.
Yeah, I was so fucking high on all that shit. And then they jerked me around like that and made me wait and had me separate from you for that long for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
And then I finally get down to the car, and we have the car seat out on the ground. And it's me, my mom, and Tyler, and we just can't get it figured out. Like, it was only took me about 30 seconds for me to be like, I can't do this. You guys got to do it. Three people's too much to get a car seat figured out. Y'all can figure it out. Like, Allison I was
kind of fucking stressed out.
I was not okay in that moment, and then I just got in the car. And then my mom and Tyler look at each other. Okay, and then they figured it out and then got the baby all situated, got him in the car, you know, we got home, and the drive home was obviously very nerve-wracking because, you know, your first drive home with a new baby, I can imagine, is always nerve-wracking. I knew that was going to be hard and scary, trusting all these other people. Like, it's your first time really having to trust other people mm-hmm. that are not, like, medical professionals, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but we got home, dude, and I felt so weird. Like, I felt so weird. Like, out of body weird. The hormones, the drugs, everything is just crazy.
Folks, if you listen to this podcast, then you know we're all about maintaining our ecosystem. That includes the front and backyard. Because that's the ecosystem in which we all pretty much live. Whether you got trees to be pruned, or you got to put in some irrigation units or system, you might be in over your head. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's kind of hard to make time with our busy lifestyles, and sometimes it's something we just don't know how to do. We'd rather have someone else do it. So if you're looking for help with that, we have someone that we would definitely recommend over here at the Symbiosis Now podcast. Salaya and Sons Lawn Care. Veteran owned and operated by Carlos Salaya. He's out there laying sod, edging lawns, planting trees, and cleaning up some old landscaper's bullshit. If you want it done right and you want it done now, give Carlos Salaya a call at 559-213-7365. And you will be able to find his email in the description below for this podcast. That's Salaya and Sons Lawn Care, 559-213-7365. 213-7365. Because we all like it done right. So whatever you need done, you got to call Salaya and Son.
I was so fucked up when we came home that I needed something to ground me. And the thing I chose to ground me was The Emperor's New Groove. And it's kind of random because it's not a movie that I watch, like, recurringly. But for some reason, I was like, this is what I need. And, yeah, it is a very comforting movie. Like,
it is, huh?
It brought me down to earth, for real. Like, because that moment you get home from the hospital, it's like, what is even going on, dude? Like, I'm seriously a mother right now? Like, I've seriously just shot a human out of me after growing him for, you know, 9 long months. And, boom, he's just home, and our life is just different now. Like, it's crazy. You leave the house as a couple, yeah. And you come home as a family.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird in yeah. a beautiful, intense way.
Yeah.
Giving birth and all that whole experience is by far the craziest thing I've ever done.
For sure.
I probably will ever do. If I jump out of a plane, it still won't be as crazy as literally making a human from scratch. Like, holy shit. I mean, looking back, I wouldn't change a thing. I'm just glad I lived to tell the tale, and I would absolutely get an epidural again, especially because my cervix was hella crooked. I don't know if I mentioned that. If I did, it was probably really briefly in the first part. But I always wanted an epidural, but I ended up getting one at like 3 centimeters.
Yeah, I always just wanted one for fun. Like, hey, just... No, I'm just kidding.
That's obviously not what I mean. I meant for birth. I always wanted an epidural. But I kind of figured like I would see how long I could go. But there's always, it never fails, the nurse will come to you and be like, hey, the anesthesiologist is going to go into surgery. If you want it, it's either now or it's in 2 hours. And you could progress so much in 2 hours. If you're already at 9 centimeters, he's not going to give you an epidural, like, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I ended up getting an epidural at 3 centimeters. Wouldn't change a thing. I have no shame in that, no regrets, especially because, like I said, my cervix was super crooked. And when they did, like, cervical checks and stuff, they had to literally fish my cervix forward, which was just the worst feeling in the world. And, yeah. It's crazy. Now we got this 2-month-old, and he has a mohawk.
Pretty much, faux hawk.
Yes.
Looking like he's out of, like, Papa Roach back in the day or some shit.
He is a little bit of a contact napper, meaning that he has to have contact with me to nap.
Yeah.
Like, for example, right now, actually twice today already, he fell asleep on me while he was nursing. I let him sleep on me for like 30 minutes. I try to put him down, transfer him to his crib, because that's where we have his baby monitor so I can watch him. And he wakes up. It's the second time he woke up, but he's okay. He's not like crying and he's just stirring. That's something as a new parent too. It's hard to judge like, when do I go in and put the binky in his mouth and just let him, like, he's not crying, so I'm not letting him cry it out, but like let him stir it out, you know?
Yeah.
Being a little wiggle worm in there.
Stir it up. That Bob Marley song. Little darling, stir it up.
Also, the
he's all wiggling, like as if he can hear me. I can see him on the camera. We got a little cool little baby cam, you know what I mean? Where like it's watching him, night vision style, and he's just there. He doesn't even know he's being watched.
I know.
It's creepy. It's like CIA type shit with your baby in the house.
It is a little creepy.
It's kind of creepy.
Here, let's turn the volume on for just a second.
Yeah, let's turn the volume. Let's hear him.
If he's making any noise.
Oh, yeah.
You have the sound machine playing in there, too, so it's hard.
I think that was a fart.
I think so, too. At the very least, a grunt.
He goes, the Symbiosis Now podcast.
He definitely reps the podcast. We should get him a onesie made with the Symbiosis Now onesie.
Hey, somebody listening, make it happen. Where's all the t-shirt homies at? I need to make some t-shirts. Where the t-shirt homies at? I also want to say something that says your California tax dollars at work or your federal tax dollars at work, and I'll wear that fucking t-shirt.
With what on it? Your mugshot?
No, just that's it. Oh. Just that's it.
Oh. Why?
Because.
You remember how I said he went to that funeral?
Yeah.
And remember how I said it went, like, all right? Well, somebody kissed him.
Yeah, somebody tends to put her sloppy lips all on my little baby boy when we explicitly suggested and recommended and told people, do not do that.
Do not kiss
him. We're not cool with the kisses yet, all right?
I don't think I will ever be okay with other people kissing him. Like... I don't think that's ever necessary. I know people, it's like their knee-jerk reaction, like, you know. Yeah. The only other time people have kissed him that's not us is my stepdad and uncle were sitting on the couch watching football, and me and Ty and Asher were leaving because we were at my mom's house. And then my stepdad and uncle were watching football on the couch, and then I get Asher in my arms, and I'm like, okay, say bye. And I put Asher, like, in front of their faces, like, what the fuck do I think they're going to do? Like, pat his head? Like, so they both kissed, like, the top of his head, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, that just happened, but I kind of, like, made that happen. Like, I could have just held him up and, like, waved this little baby hand and been like, say bye, you know?
Yeah.
What did I expect them to do? Like,
right.
But then when he got kissed at the funeral, dude, I had him, I was wearing him in my baby carrier, dude. I had him all wrapped up all tight, and my family member came up and pulled the baby carrier back and kissed him in the face, and it was, like, devastating to me, man. It was really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he's okay, but he is showing, like, small signs this morning of maybe being sick. And then it like makes me wonder, like, oh God, did this person like potentially get him sick? Like, there's no way we could know, but like, I'm just saying, if he gets really sick, I'm gonna be really, really mad. Yeah. Like, and I'm gonna blame that person, like, regardless. Because I know two people right now, actually a third person, since I told you earlier, I know two people. I know three people right now who their children are in the hospital with RSV or they just got diagnosed with RSV.
Yeah.
And one of them is a newborn, one of them is a year old, and one of them is 4 years old.
Yeah.
And it's so scary for all of them. Like, I just pray to God that he's okay and we don't have to suffer through that. And I'm thankful that, you know, just don't kiss people's babies is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, don't be kissing people's babies. Who the fuck does that? Wasn't it like presidents always like shake hands and kiss babies?
Oh, God.
Isn't that a thing?
Right.
Because I Googled it right here while you're talking about it. It says presidential candidates have long sought to portray a softer side by being pictured kissing infants.
But these moms back in the day, too, I mean, I'm sure a lot of moms now, whether it's Biden or Trump or whoever, they'd be like, oh my God, the president kissed my baby. Like, I kind of get, like, I don't want that. I don't want anybody kissing my baby. But if it's the president, I could maybe see how people are like, oh my God, the president kissed my baby. He's so special. You know that picture that they have in the history book of him kissing the baby on this date, this time, this year? That's my baby. That's me, bro. I was that baby.
For sure, Donald Trump kissed fucking babies. This was recent. Why are you trying to spread this propaganda, Donald Trump? And then I thought someone had punched a baby, and so I Googled it in the background. I was like, president punched baby, but then I remembered it's from that movie, The Campaign.
Oh, God.
I think, and they, like, spread a rumor, like, they made him, like, somehow miss and punch the baby. And then, oh, so, like, God. The next day, the paper headline was, like, so-and-so punched a baby.
That's hilarious.
But it's speculated that Trump punched a baby directly in the face.
Oh, God.
And I don't know, it's just one of the few things if you Google president punch baby that comes up. But it's all trash fucking internet right here. It's just trash articles, man. Dude, I don't even want to say what it is. Sandwich psych meds.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Dude, what about Trump?
Sandwich psych meds.
He's selling NFTs now, they say.
Dude, I'm so depressed that Donald Trump made it into the fucking conversation, but
I know.
That guy literally made NFTs, and you know you've seen them, listener. They're fucking whack, dude. He's like, you want this beautiful piece of art.
It's crazy because I saw the commercial for somebody like reacting.
He will own the new Vatican City. Like, I picture this. Like, he will have his own fuck island, kind of, that he is like Trump. Isn't that what Mar-a-Lago is?
Basically, yeah. Literally, he's a fucking fortress.
That's why they wanted the place.
Golf courses and all the shit. You know, he's got a bunch of shit that is just his little private zone.
Sketch. Man, our politicians are on some wild-ass drugs, man, or something, because they don't see reality, you know? They're high on some serious dollar-dollar bills, y'all.
Isn't it crazy to be so disconnected from reality?
Yeah, to live in such a bubble, it's almost like, holy shit. And then, like, also, like, nowadays, how many people probably tell the politician, like, they're yelling at him when they're in the crowd, like, you suck, you jackass, kind of like in Happy Gilmore, where the guy pops up out of nowhere right when he's about to take his shot. He's a golfer, and Adam Sandler's just about to hit the ball in the hole. And this guy pops up out of a bush. He's like, Gilmore, you suck.
Yeah.
You jackass. And then he like hides or whatever.
Yeah.
And it would throw him off, right? And he'd get all pissed.
Yeah.
What's going down, podcast listener? I imagine that you drive a car when you're out and about. You might even have a motorcycle, per se. And I think that most people that live in the society we live in have a home of some sort. On those things, do you have insurance? That is my question to you. And if you do not, it seems like it's time to get you some. What are you doing out there listening to a podcast? Because if you are, at the same time simultaneously, you could be calling Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance to provide you with top-notch service. Give him a call at 559-638-3800. Do you not have a license? That doesn't seem to be a problem. He can set you up. Do I know how? I have no idea, but he can set you up. He claims to know. Are you anything like me? And when you were younger, got into some trouble, had a DUI, and needed an SR-22 insurance? Maybe? I hope not. But if you do, Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance can set you up with the free SR22. You can find Alfredo looking sharp in the suit on 998 North Manning Avenue in Reedley, California. Or you can give him a jingle down there at the shop at 559-638-3800. Be sure to tell him that you heard about him on the Symbiosis Now podcast, and he will set you up ASAP with all your insuring needs. Thank you, Alfredo, for sponsoring the podcast. And now let's get back to the show, folks.
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Probably The Grinch. We have it on in the background right now with Jim Carrey. That one. That's one of my favorite ones for sure.
Amazing Christmas
always
movie.
Always was, always has been. And then when we're watching it, I'm like seeing stuff that I don't remember seeing. So that's why it's a great film. It's really like the angles. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it like because we took film classes back when we were younger. And like we really learned like when you break down a film, it's like you can see all the pieces in the background. You can see kind of the behind the scenes like nature of its production and like the angles of the shots and everything are just amazing. Like it's
and
really
nothing
cool.
is an accident in movies. Like right. you can kind of say like if they're filming something in public, like I remember one example they showed where it was like this is an accident where there was nudity in a movie on accident.
Yeah.
Because they shot in public and somebody in the background, a member of the public, like flashed. And the production crew didn't notice because it wasn't a member of the, like, somehow. Mm-hmm. But 99% of the time in movies, whether it be cartoon especially, because it's animated, it has to be drawn in 100% of the time.
Literally,
there's no mistakes.
Yeah.
But in a movie like The Grinch, like, everything is staged. It's not filmed in public. So there is no accidents. So right. when The Grinch, little baby, comes floating in, like babies do, the storks or whatever, they drop them, the little cribs floating down.
They float down to the front door of the parents. That's
yeah,
how the babies are
and
made.
And the little baby Grinch, God knows where he came from, lands in a tree, and he's looking in the window of this party. And the party that's going on inside is a swingers party. And how do I know that? Because they're putting their keys in a fishbowl. And if you Google fishbowl party, you'll find out that it's for freaking swingers. And they'd be putting their watches or their keys or whatever in a fishbowl. And then you go and you take keys out. And then whoever's there, that's who you're supposed to go home with.
Yeah, whoever's keys they are. After yeah. you, it's like a raffle, kind of.
God.
Like a scramble, and then you know you pick them up, and you're like, "Oh, I guess you're driving me home." And this is probably for sure like devised clearly in the days like the 40s, 50s, 60s. So in the days where you could get fucked up at this party and drive home and fuck someone else's wife.
Oh God.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh God. I mean, there's still obviously hella swingers.
But for sure. No, yeah. for sure. It's just like you'd get all. The point was to get all fucked up and literally throw the car keys in the bowl and then go grab someone's car keys and be like, "I guess I'm driving." Driving your car home. Imagine some Jesus. Fucked up bitch like, "I'm driving us home, Tommy."
Oh,
you know, and just like, and then barely making it home with their life.
That's so
and
scary.
And then fucking her. but what's crazy is like the Grinch has all those little that version of the Grinch has so many little ins and outs, that are like, you know, classic, funny. Parents watching would get it. Kids maybe it's over their head type of shit. But there's also just, like, a lot of stuff that's just blatant. Like, you can't hide it.
But as a kid, you don't know. You see things differently as you get older. Like, when I was a kid, I had no idea. Literally, it took me, I'm almost 30, watching The Grinch. And I'm like, oh, they're Jimmy making a joke about swingers. But when I was a kid, I had no idea.
Or, like, where the mayor of the town's all gangster. He's literally, like, a mob fucking head, and he's also kind of like the Pope almost in a way because he holds the Book of Who and says the way shit has to go down for Christmas here.
Yeah.
And then Cindy Lou Who's like, "It doesn't say that." And he's like, "Yes, it does." And he's like flipping through the pages and she's like, "What page?" And all the crowd's like, "What page, Mayor?" And he doesn't know because he made it up. And then they were kind of referring to like a lot of religious sects because that's how it goes. Like,
or like they
made
people
shit
in power
up.
Just making
in
shit
general,
up.
Yeah, making shit up with their rules because this book says so.
Yeah.
You know, this paperwork says so, but it's like, no one really gives a fuck, though, bro. And also, everyone knows that doesn't actually say that. Like, you know, but if everyone believes that it does say that, someone's real charismatic, the whole crowd will believe.
Right.
But The Grinch is definitely by far my favorite Christmas movie. Do you have a favorite?
I'm not going to say that it's my favorite, but I love it. We watched Christmas with the Cranks the other day, and that was thoroughly entertaining. Like, right. I found myself, I'd leave the room to, like, go wash bottles or something, and then I'd be standing there in the entryway, like, staring at the movie because it was so funny. Like, it kept bringing me back to it.
It Obviously. Was funny, especially because it has Tim Allen in there, who was the Santa Claus, like, or wasn't it called the movie? Like, the two movies, there was Santa Claus or something. The Santa Claus, one and two.
Yeah.
And he was the fucking Santa Claus
who
would deliver the presents and shit.
He was literally Santa Claus.
Yeah, for us when we were kids, like, that was basically like, he's a man, but he's really Santa Claus. Super. During that time of year, he just grows the beard all of a sudden and shit.
Yeah, like a Superman,
Yeah, that was a superpower, thing,
like,
yeah.
Like in hiding, he was like,
he would animorph into fucking Santa Claus spirit animal.
So Ty and I were speculating what if we like Christmas with the Cranks more, because in our mind we see him as Santa,
and in this movie he's kind of doing the opposite, where he has to kind of do this like Scrooge type vibe, where we're not doing Christmas this year, we're going to the Bahamas.
They try to escape Christmas, they're taking a year off. So that one was good. And then let's see, what other Christmas movies? I literally can't name any Hallmark Christmas movie, but I know if it were on the TV, I would sit down and I would be captivated by it. Like, they're so cheesy and they're so notorious for being like bingy.
Nightmare Before Christmas, which Nightmare is like a Halloween and Christmas type vibe.
Yes. And then there's the classics like Charlie Brown, Jack Frost, those, like, that whole era, like, those are fun, you know, especially, like, Rudolph and stuff, almost, like, claymation-y looking thing, like, they're so old, like, it's just cool that we still are able to watch those and stuff. Christmas with the Cranks, really, like, I just keep going back to that because it was hella funny. And then I also like Christmas versions of shows too, like I remember in that 70s show, like they'd have a Christmas episode, like, you know, like shows will do like a Christmas.
Oh, they always do, for sure. That's what we're doing right here on this episode. So Merry Christmas to you and your family and whatever. Happy holidays.
Yeah, and all Hanukkah that jazz. Started yesterday, it did. So if you celebrate that,
it did, but that's when this comes out, it wouldn't be accurate, but yeah, Christmas is right around the corner when this episode comes out, so we want to talk a little bit about Christmas, fill you in on what we think is Christmas. I think that Christmas is super interesting for many reasons, but I definitely think that the whole Santa Claus, everything about it is so interesting, the little elves, and how it all relates to mushrooms somehow at the end of the day. And it all came from that, and then it evolved into this, like, capitalistic...
You can't just say something like that and then not expound. Like,
I've talked about it on the podcast before, only for the hard, true fans, dude, that know.
Give us a quick refresher.
Well, like, for example... The red color being the dominant color, Amanita muscaria is this red color. Mm-hmm. It's not even speculated. It's a fact that, like, Saint Nick or Santa Claus and these old dudes with beards would travel with a sack full of mushrooms after the season's over that they collected when the fall was coming, and there was a lot of moisture and there was, like, debris falling and a lot of dead plant matter on the ground where the mushrooms were growing underneath the birch trees. And then you would take them and you would hang them inside to dry. So you'd get them from under the tree and then you'd hang them to dry them. And then during the deep, darky depression of winter time, this motherfucker would take his sack of mushrooms and throw, like, basically little sacks of mushrooms down the chimneys that people would be so snowed in.
Yeah.
That he was, like, looking out. He was, like, giving them food that is preserved, but also, like, medicine.
Yeah.
That is dried and preserved.
Yeah.
And speculated that was a real person that, you know, you could say was Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But also the idea that when you eat mushrooms, you might see elves and shit. It's just kind of a weird vibe.
Oh, yeah.
And then also that the Amanita muscaria mushroom, which most people when they eat mushrooms, they don't eat that mushroom. But it's the mushroom that you've seen in every fucking cartoon.
Right.
Every forest setting you've ever seen on a painting.
You think of those even though they're
It's the red one with the the off-white dots all on top. Yeah. And that one is speculated that they used to make an elixir specifically with that psilocybin mushroom that would get you high as a kite. And you would see it all from another point of view. But it's also speculated that the reindeer, which are basically just caribou, but the reindeer actually eat those mushrooms. And theoretically...
That's how they can fly.
that they eat those mushrooms. Like, often they forage for shit and they eat those for sure. And after a while of people processing these mushrooms, decided to try their piss. This is, like, real shit. try the reindeer's piss after eating that. Yeah. So essentially the reindeer was taking out the toxins that when you were to use some, makes, that's why I said you have to make an elixir out of it, because if you were to eat the actual mushroom, apparently it would hurt you. It could kill you or something or make you sick. But if you do something with the components inside of that one, you can do some real shit with it. Yeah. Or it's speculated that that variety of mushroom has went away, but I don't think so, you know?
Yeah.
The one that they used to depict in art. Right. But it's still there for sure. The reality, though, is that, like, they would follow these little reindeer around and try to collect their piss, dude, and drink it. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Like, they'd be fucking trying to. And it would, like, almost like those toxins would be absorbed into the, like, a filter. The reindeer was the filter. And then here they come and they drink the shit and get high as fuck off of the psilocybin that's, like, processed into the piss.
It's crazy. That's crazy.
There's so much to it, though, especially when you start getting into, like, Christ itself. Kind of being this love type, love thy neighbor type deep shit. And then realizing that a lot of the original people that were like writing about stuff like this, definitely mushrooms, speculated that the biblical manna that grows on the ground after a rain that was given by God. But that just means bread. I'm like, it grows on the ground. The fuck are you talking? That means mushrooms. Yeah. That means mushroom. Look at the verbiage. That's how I feel about it, like, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's speculated a lot of ways. But Christmas time is all about somehow turning all that into this money-making, sell a bunch of gifts and buy a bunch of gifts. And it's a last-minute fiscal thing, I think, sometimes mentally, even though the fiscal year for most businesses is, like, just starting. Like, they want to get ahead early. You could look at it like from a business point of view, that Christmas comes around and like most of these businesses like Fisher Price and shit are like, all right, we started just in September. We got to end good in the first quarter so we can save the next three quarters because we don't sell as much then. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to think about. But when we flip the whole holiday on its head, it's like, ooh, what happened here? All the magic and all the deep down evolutionary fantasy that we attach to maybe even eating those mushrooms in the past. Like our genetics, think about it. Deep, locked memories, deep in our genetics. Somehow about the wonder, the Alice in Wonderland effect type thing. Mm-hmm. But it's turned and pimped out a little bit into this by gifts. And Santa Claus is coming and he's throwing little gifts under the trees and like, you know, physically coming down the chimney. Like, you know.
I think that everybody knows how disgusting it is, but we don't want to talk about it.
Right.
I mean, because at the end of the day, it's your job to make magic.
Right.
We all know that magic's not fucking real.
Right. And we still celebrate it, right? Like, kind of like I showed you that meme earlier where it's Drake. Everyone's seen the meme where Drake, the rapper Drake, is like doing the no and then the mm-hmm thing, like, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like.
It's from the Hotline Bling music video.
Yeah, conspiracy. Basically blanket conspiracies to control the masses. Like, no, we don't like that. Nobody likes that right now in 2022. Fuck that. That's not the business. But Santa Claus? Cool. Like, but it's another one of those things. In fact, it also is speculated that Christmas itself, the time of the year, was not when Christ was born at all, if he was a man, which theoretically he was. And I believe he was, you know, probably lived on the earth, right, for sure. Mm-hmm. The reality is, though, is he was, like, born in springtime.
Yeah.
By the way the story's even told and shit. It's not fucking freezing outside and shit, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so
super pagan.
It is weird.
Christians are like, it's our thing, but like,
well, they were trying to get along with the pagans, so they kind of convinced them, like, basically, oh, you celebrate the solstice, the winter solstice. Well, we celebrate this thing. It's kind of similar around the same time. Kind of the days start getting longer right around that time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's they. Oh, we're the same holiday. We're the same. Like, you know, over time. And I think it was really about trying to smother, like, dominate slowly and smother an ideology without directly, overtly taking over and telling people to not think that way.
Yeah.
It was like a meshing of cultures over time. It's speculated that's the same thing with Mithraism, where they would actually do a lot of incense of cannabis in places and, like, know that the smoke in the place would get you hella, like, hotboxed high.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, we're all about love and the heart being the most important chakra type of shit and whatever.
Yeah.
And ironically, that merged with Christianity as well. There's a lot of ideologies that resonate and are very similar that you could say coexisted at the same time and kind of evolved together to become this weird, like, super organism of ideology.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to where it's hard to, that's why it's so hard to break down if someone's a Christian. It's like, okay, well, what kind, right? You know, how extreme, you know what I mean? Like, what sector of the reality that we live in are you living in? Because some people are really extreme.
Yeah.
Some people not so extreme, right?
Yeah.
Like some people that would say, well, we don't do anything Santa Claus at all because it's about Christ. So we just put a big cross in our yard and we don't eat all day. And like, you know what I mean? People do all these different things.
For sure.
And
for sure.
Shun the fucking paganism still, even though it's like you drive a car to work, you go pray at your little altar of a desk all day. Like, you know what I mean? You still do something with your life. You know?
For sure.
Christmas.
And I'm like, where do I even go from there, man? Yeah, it's a lot.
Sorry, I drove us off a cliff, folks, but we had to go there real quick. But I like the time of year. I do like that everyone gets together, even if it's just an excuse, a made-up holiday by corporate entities, essentially. Like, it's also a time of year where you should be kind of, you know, trying to figure things out a little more. Things slow down. The days are much shorter, literally. Like, it's not by our choice. Just the daylight. The days are literally physically shorter because of the position we're in around the sun and the way we orbit and all this shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, stay strong because the little seasonal depression shit kicks in, I feel like. And then that's why we love Christmas, because it's, like, a time where we all get together and we come out of that depression. And then January hits, and then it's like fucking cold still. February, it's still fucking cold.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you got to get through the winter months, man. We're just getting started.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved Christmas, but I also hated Christmas, and I also hated every holiday because I was in a divorced family, which is super fucking common. Obviously, if you're listening to this, your parents are probably divorced. Like, you know, 50% of you.
Joke's on you. No, I'm just kidding. You say it like that.
It's relatable. You
no,
know?
I know.
It's not like I'm some anomaly. Like, it's super common, and a lot of people can probably relate to, like, if your parents didn't get along, Christmas was very stressful because it meant you woke up really early. No, but there was no sleeping in on Christmas morning for me when I was a kid. Which, I mean, it's fine because when you're a kid, you wake up at the butt crack of dawn and it's like, I want to open presents and shit. But, like, there was no slow moving on Christmas Day for me ever my whole life until I was an adult, because you wake up, you open presents with whatever parent you're with, and then we didn't split whole day holidays. We did, like, half the day you're with mom, and then you go to dad for the second half of the day. And then what's even crazier is then there would be, like, so when you're with mom, you got to celebrate with your grandparents on that side. And then if you have another set of grandparents because you have mom and stepdad, you know, not thankfully, but for me in that moment, it was just my stepdad's family. But then so it would be like, you know, Christmas Eve, you spend all day with your stepdad's family. And then Christmas morning, you wake up and you're with your stepdad and your mom. And then your mom has to drive you to your dad's house, and you spend Christmas evening with your dad and your stepmom. And then you got your dad's parents that you need to see. And then you got your stepmom's parents that you need to see. So, like, before you know, even just to be in a, like, a family that's not divorced, you have a lot going on. But then to have a divorce and then remarried, it was like a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And for every holiday, it was like that for me, you know? And I mean, it was very, I mean, I'd say like 50% of the time, nah, I don't know. People always fought on holidays when I was a kid too, because it was notoriously people got all drunk.
Yep.
And then, of course, when there's alcohol involved, people are fighting, and it just never failed. There would be drama, you know? And then, not to take us there, but you took us there, so I'll take us there somewhere. Like, I mean, Christmas is literally one of the last times where I, like, hung out with my dad. I mean, to my knowledge, he's still alive out there somewhere, but, like, the Christmas in eighth grade was when I woke up that morning and he was too hungover to get up and open presents and stuff. And then my stepmom drove me to my mom's house and dropped me off on the corner and left. And I had, like, bags of shit. And my mom's like, what happened? Like, why were you crying? And what, you know, and then that started the whole process of, like, okay, you should not be going to your dad's anymore. He seriously was too hungover to get up Christmas morning and acknowledge you. Like, big old dip stain on the couch too. Passed out. He couldn't even have the decency to go pass out in the fucking guest room or something. Passed out on the couch.
A big old dip stain, for those that don't know what that means, like, chew. Copenhagen. Like, yeah, like, yeah. Chewing tobacco. Just, like, bleeding out of his mouth on the couch, just drooling.
On the white couch. I swear, my childhood at moments, I could write a storybook, because there's frames in my mind where it's, like, a white couch and then the dip stain.
We might need to make a book, like, a child's book about, like, dads that suck, and that you'll be okay.
Yeah, dude.
And then that way, when the dad finally gets his shit together and reads it, he's, like, tripping out. He's like, oh my gosh, did they write this book about me?
God, if only there was ever self-awareness. Yeah, fucking right. I mean, I guess rarely, but so I don't know. Christmas for me, I had to work negative to enjoy vibes. It as I got older. And then that's why it's so important for me now that we're parents to create that magic for our son. And it's like, fuck religion, fuck Santa. Like, it's, I mean, all of that is going to be incorporated with time through his life. And like, it's cool, whatever, but like, it's about family in my mind. Like, you know, that's most important to me that, you know, you get that time with your immediate family. And if you want to see extended family, if you're into that, if your family's really close, like, cool, whatever, you know, like, I just, our first major holiday with him was Thanksgiving. Like, he was born on October 18th, our son, but then, so Halloween came, but that's not, like, a major holiday. You know, people don't, it's not, like, a family holiday, except for, like, trick-or-treating, but, like, you know, then Thanksgiving came, and it was nice to just be me and Ty and Asher at home and, like, enjoy our Thanksgiving, like, slow move-in and, like, ate bomb food.
Hey, you're right. Dude, Halloween is, like, the exact opposite. It's a night of mischief where you leave your family, like, to go out and cause havoc and steal ice cream, or not ice cream, fucking sweets and candy from people, basically. You go up to their door and like demand it, but luckily everyone's like down to play along.
Oh, cute. See, like next year,
I'll open the door.
Next Here's year, some candy. We'll probably stay home again because he'll only be a year old, and so hopefully we'll get to hand out candy. But then once he's two, we'll be out on the town.
Dude, like, he will literally have his Batman cape on and he'll fly to the houses. Like, yeah, you're right. It's gonna be on like Donkey Kong, bitch. Yes. Holiday time.
Yeah, dude. So, I don't know. Christmas has its good and its bad, but I think mostly life is just about what you make it. I mean, you can let life happen to you, or you can pick yourself up by the bootstraps. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. I just mean, like, you know, for me, like, I really had to work at loving Christmas.
Yeah.
And, like, it took a lot of work. Like, it took eliminating toxic family members, and it took setting boundaries, and it took, like, you know, a lot of healing on my own emotionally and stuff. And then now I've come to, like, really love Christmas and holidays and stuff. And I don't see it as, like, negative anymore, you know?
Yeah. Not for sure. I'm glad.
And thankfully, I ain't got the money to spend a bunch of shit on everybody. So I can't feel shallow for the holidays because I'm a broke-ass bitch. So I can't blow thousands of dollars and be like, damn, is that really what it's about? Like, you know, people are getting homemade ornaments from us this year. That's what our few family members are getting.
I know. Like, in the past, like, I'd be like, I bought my dad a Traeger.
You bought your dad a Traeger. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm just, like, spending, like, hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, dude.
Because I'm like, hey, man.
Hey, and when you can, it's nice.
And I could. I love
that. And that's why I did. If I could buy my mom a house, I would buy my mom a house, dude.
For sure. But right now, I can't right now.
Yeah.
But that, and everyone knows that. It's just, it's tight right now. The economy's fucked. But like, we talk about every episode of this fucking podcast. Huh. But also, it's just like, we had a baby and stuff. It's harder to.
But that's why it's cool, because everybody's going to totally shower him with so much love.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I have everything I need. I don't need a bunch of shit. And, you know, he needs, like, a high chair. Like, somebody might get him a high chair, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm excited to see what, like, little sensory toys my mom got for him and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll put some stuff. Or. Not me. I'll give some stuff to Santa to put in his stocking.
Like, so he coal.
Can open it. Make some Not dirty diapers.
Yeah. as a payback.
Aw, how do you like that?
Revenge. Christmas is about revenge. Oh, teach him that.
Allison, you're amazing. Thank you so much for talking to us on this beautiful podcast. You're the beautiful voice of beautiful reason and beautiful motherhood that we want to guide us into the beautiful future. Thank you so much for sharing your story, our story. Thank you so much for listening to my crazy Christmas conspiracies. And thank you for being my wife. Listener, I hope you had a good time. I hope that you like our banter and the way that we get down. Imagine being with us off the microphone. You can enter a chance to win a hangout session with us in the link below. Obviously, I'm just joking, but I bet you're looking for the link. And folks, take time to make time for your family, friends. Make conversations happen. We hopefully inspired you to do that out there in your lives by this episode and all 130 of the other episodes. We're rolling out of 2022, quickly dropping into 2023. And we got another couple episodes in this motherfucking bitch. so stay tuned. Listener, this is Tyler Colombaro signing off for this episode, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the Symbiosis Now podcast.